Background and key principles. In LTC facilities, mealtime and food are vital to the quality of residents' lives in terms of both their nutritional and social well-being. Mealtime socialization, daily schedules, and life activities often revolve around food. And many people are involved in food handling, including personnel in food and nutrition services, FNS, nursing staff, life enrichment activity professionals, residents, families, and volunteers. For the health and safety of residents, staff, and visitors, it is crucial that foodborne illnesses and food contamination are prevented. The LTC facility IP must work with FNS and the interdisciplinary team, IDT, to ensure that policies and procedures incorporate infection prevention best practices. The IP should monitor food handling, preparation, and storage to ensure that FNS, nursing, and life enrichment staff properly clean, sanitize, and maintain food prep areas, utensils, and equipment. The IP must also monitor employee health to ensure healthcare personnel, HCP, are healthy and fit for duty. FNS play a unique role in LTC facilities as well as in healthcare settings more generally, and FNS is crucial to reducing the risk of foodborne illnesses. The routine operation of FNS provides nutritious, safe food and beverages for patients, visitors, and HCP. During national recalls or local food contamination incidents, FNS leadership and the IP should work together to implement strategies for ensuring a safe food supply chain. Appropriate management and control of the delivery of food, from the farm to the table, form the foundation of safe products. FNS policies and practices must follow accepted food management standards as outlined by local, state, federal, and surveying agencies. HACCP guidelines, discussed later in this topic, together with other standards related to production, receiving, storage, serving, disaster preparedness, and waste management, help to ensure a safe food chain. Key point: some basic rules that should be followed. Anyone who handles food must be healthy. An employee with signs of illness, such as respiratory symptoms, coughing, sneezing, boils, fever, rashes, or active gastrointestinal symptoms, must be sent home and cleared by employee/occupational health or a physician before returning to work. Hand hygiene, HH, and rules pursuant thereto are of the utmost importance when preparing and serving food. Ready-to-eat, RT, foods should not be handled with bare hands. Hand washing with soap and water is required in food preparation areas. When hands are not visibly soiled, residents and staff may use alcohol-based hand rubs, ABHR, in dining rooms and with medication carts. Infection prevention must be considered throughout all stages and processes involved in providing food to residents. This includes purchasing, transportation, storage, preparation, service, and waste removal/cleaning. In order for these basic rules to be implemented successfully, FNS personnel and anyone else who handles food must be educated and trained in their application. This education should include personal hygiene, HH, glove use, and foodborne illness prevention, as well as regulations and standards that apply to food preparation, sanitation, and storage. The LTC facility food service director or manager is responsible for the safety of food and food service workers. The IP should work with the director or manager to develop policies and procedures, as well as employee education, that promote food safety for everyone in the facility. These policies and procedures should be written and accessible to employees and contractors who are responsible for or come in contact with food service. Written standards should exist with regard to safe preparation, handling, and storage of food. Cleaning and sanitizing hoods, grease trays, garbage disposal units, tray liners, and delivery carts. Employee health. Cleaning and sanitizing trays, utensils, tableware, and other surfaces. Disposing of dietary waste. Note that, as is the case in other areas, standards and regulations will vary based on the facility type and the legal jurisdiction that governs the facility. Facilities may also elect to pursue additional certifications that are not legally required, such as ServSafe. Hazard analysis and critical control points, HACCP guidelines. HACCP guidelines were created under the auspices of the United States NACMEC. Members of multiple federal, state, and academic organizations, as well as industry experts, were involved in the creation of these guidelines. As the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, site that discloses the HACCP guideline states, HACCP is a systematic approach to the identification, evaluation, and control of food safety hazards. This approach is guided by the following 7 principles. Conduct a hazard analysis. Determine the critical control points, CCPs, establish critical limits, establish monitoring procedures, establish corrective actions, establish verification procedures, establish record-keeping and documentation procedures. Though multiple testing options for detecting specific microbes have already been discussed in this text, these are of little use with regard to food safety and are not included in HACCP due to the time needed to obtain results. The exception to this is when verifying that the HACCP system is working correctly. Instead, HACCP relies on visual observations, along with physical and chemical tests, to function properly. The HACCP features multiple appendixes with various information and requirements, of which a few key examples will be referenced. First, Appendix A describes how the HACCP must be built upon other prerequisite programs, which provide the basic environmental and operating conditions required to produce food safely. Appendix A shares the following non-exhaustive list of common programs, Exhibit 6-1, Common Prerequisite Programs. Appendix C shares some examples of questions that can be used to identify potential hazards related to the process that is being considered. The following discussion shares examples that the FDA HACCP provides of questions that can be used. Ingredients. Does the food contain any sensitive ingredients that may present microbiology hazards? Example, Salmonella, Staphylococcus aureus, chemical hazards. Example, aflatoxin, antibiotic or pesticidal residues, or physical hazards, stones, glass, metal. Are potable water, ice, and steam used in the formulating and handling of food? What are the sources? Example, geographical region, specific supplier, intrinsic factors. Intrinsic factors are physical characteristics and composition. Example, pH, type of acidulants, fermentable carbohydrates, water activity, preservatives, of the food during and after processing. What hazards may result if the food is not properly prepared or stored? Does the food permit survival or multiplication of pathogens or toxin formation in the food during processing? Will the food permit survival or multiplication of pathogens or toxin formation during subsequent steps in the food chain? Are there similar products in the marketplace? What has been the safety record for these other products? What hazards have been associated with them? Procedures used for processing. Does the process include a controllable processing step, such as heating or cooling, that destroys pathogens? If so, which pathogens? Consider both vegetative cells and spores. If the product is subject to recontamination between processing, example, cooking, pasteurizing, and packaging, which biological, chemical, or physical hazards are likely to occur? Microbial content of the food. What is the normal microbial content of the food? Does the microbial population change during the normal time the food is stored prior to consumption? Does the subsequent change in microbial population alter the safety of the food? Do the answers to the above questions indicate a high likelihood of certain biological hazards? Facility design. Does the layout of the facility provide an adequate separation of raw materials from RTE foods if this is important to food safety? If not, what hazards should be considered as possible contaminants of the RTE products? Is the traffic pattern for people and moving equipment a significant source of contamination? Equipment design and use. Will the equipment provide the time temperature control that is necessary for safe food? Is the equipment properly sized for the volume of food that will be processed? Can the equipment be sufficiently controlled so that the variation in performance will be within the tolerances required to produce a safe food? Is the equipment reliable or is it prone to frequent breakdowns? Is the equipment designed so that it can be easily cleaned and sanitized? Is there a chance for product contamination with hazardous substances? Example, glass. What product safety devices are used to enhance consumer safety? To what degree will normal equipment wear affect the likely occurrence of a physical hazard, example, metal, in the product? Packaging. Does the method of packaging affect the multiplication of microbial pathogens or the formation of toxins? Is the package clearly labeled, "Keep refrigerated," if this is required for safety? Is the packaging material resistant to damage, thereby preventing the entrance of microbial contamination? Are tamper-evident packaging features used? Is each package and case legibly and accurately coded? Does each package contain the proper label? Are potential allergens in the ingredients included in the list of ingredients on the label? Sanitation. Can sanitation have an impact upon the safety of the food that is being processed? Can the facility and equipment be easily cleaned and sanitized to permit the safe handling of food? Is it possible to provide sanitary conditions consistently and adequately to assure safe foods? Employee health, hygiene, and education. Can employee health or personal hygiene practices affect the safety of the food being processed? Do the employees understand the process and the factors they must control to assure the preparation of safe foods? Will the employees inform management of a problem that could affect the safety of food? Storage conditions between packaging and end user. What is the likelihood that the food will be improperly stored at the wrong temperature? Would an error in improper storage lead to a microbiologically unsafe food? Intended user. Will the food be heated by the consumer? Intended consumer. Is the food intended for consumption by a population with increased susceptibility to illness? Example, infants, the aged, the infirm, immunocompromised individuals? Is the food to be used for institutional feeding or the home?